Rocket Podcast. We're here live at Collabo Fest. We're live.
Collabo Fest!
Who's Fest?
Collabo Fest!
Fresh off! Oh, I mean.
We're with our favorite person, Ross. We're with our favorite person, Ross Putnam, who put on the whole thing.
I am a very small part of this whole thing. The real all-star in this whole thing is Morgan.
That's right.
How's Hi, it Morgan. Going?
Good.
You Thank are you live on the Sprocket Podcast.
Awesome. How's yeah. it going?
Good.
We're doing good. We're
tell
doing
us good. Tell us about Collabo Fest. What is this and how did it come together?
This guy right here helped me create it, but we keep tossing it back and forth. Big collaborative beer fest, just getting into the beer scene of Portland together and creating some innovative rad brews that are available for here today and then for a month afterwards. So.
Yeah, we're here at Base Camp Brewing, which is where Collabo Fest happens. And how many breweries are represented here?
16.
There's a lot of breweries represented here, which is cool.
The whole thing, to take it back a little bit, we got approached by, with Travel Portland, the local tourism folks here that like to just showcase what Portland has to offer, and they came to us, and you know, like we're in the dead of winter right now. It's there's not a whole lot of like beer stuff going on, but they said like, what can we do, you know, to like to get people together in the beer industry? First of all, they asked us to brew a beer. And they wanted to have a beer showcase here with Travel Portland and Base Camp. And then we started talking about it. Like, well, it'd be better to showcase the Portland beer scene with more than, you know, just what we do, with other breweries as well. And so it just kind of, like, stemmed from there. And then we, like, what, like, how can we shape it? And then we decided to get, the first year where there was 12 breweries?
10.
10 breweries. And so we split them up by production size from the previous year, so we're not going to get like two really big breweries together or two really small breweries together, but we split them up by size and do a blind draw like out of a hat, literally. And so
you
we
get this person for White Elephant Christmas.
Totally.
Yes, exactly.
And so like this year we got Culmination, who's I think coming up on 3 years now. They got paired with Windmere, who's been around for like 30 years, and their scale is, I mean, just astronomically different in terms of like size of brewery and distribution and all that stuff. So it gives us like a good chance to like really stay connected with big and small, and all the, you know, a lot of different breweries throughout Portland, and it's just been a really fun way to like bring everybody together. And now we're ended up, you know, shutting down the pretty much the entire block around the brewery.
Yeah, like three different streets.
We're standing right in the middle of where cars typically go of this road.
And we are drinking beer in the street.
In the streets.
Why don't we do this
Whose
in the
streets?
Road?
Our streets!
Fresh hops!
Well, thank you for putting it on. This is a great event. And what did you do to put this together? I hear you're the one that did the heavy lifting for all the coordination, event planning.
I try.
Yeah.
Really, it's just everything. Working with...
She did everything.
Yeah, all the city permits, renting everything, work with all the breweries, get them moving and grooving on everything, which is the biggest piece, I think.
Yeah, and you found an amazing excited. DJ.
Yeah, DJ Gregarious is pretty on top of his game.
Yeah.
Comes highly recommended.
I think, so we were talking about this, and like this is kind of like the party that we always wanted to throw growing up, and your parents were like, no, you can't throw a party in the streets, you know, with all your friends.
And serve copious amounts of beer.
That's right. And I think it has to do mostly with the fact there's a ton of logistics around getting this thing together, you know, like city permits, and so now we just do it like professionally, and, you know, just... Keep it in the streets.
So now it's like, Mom, I'm going to have a party. And she's like, okay, get the required permits.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
And that's how
like,
it works now.
Oh, and you're gonna pretend like this is a job. Okay, cool, yeah.
And you can bring your parents to Base Camp Brewing. That's totally okay.
You can bring your parents. You can bring your children. You can bring pretty much any beating heart up
dog?
Until 10 o'clock.
All dogs,
Dogs over 21 can stay past 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Younger dogs, yeah.
Is that dog years? Or?
Yeah, sure.
What was your name?
Samara.
Okay, and Samara, you're with which organization?
With She Jumps.
What do you guys do?
Our mission is to increase women's participation in the outdoors, so skiing, mountain biking, anything you can do outside.
Nice. How long has She Jumps been around?
A while. In Oregon or the Portland area, only like 2 years. So our chapter's pretty new, but grown exponentially in like the last 6 months. So
very cool. And so what kinds of things do you do to get people outside?
We have a big event in March called Get the Girls Out, and it's up at Mount Hood Meadows. We get as many ladies and men in costumes, skiing. We have a big raffle. We have some awesome sponsors, Basecamp being one of them.
Yeah, we're also here with Ross from Basecamp Brewing.
Hello.
You guys, if you've listened, know him.
I'm here again.
So what? How can people get involved? How do people find out where you are, what you're up to?
We have monthly meetings at Basecamp. It's like the first Tuesday or Monday of each month. And you can find us on Instagram, She Jumps Pacific Coast, on Facebook. We're nationwide, so you can find us all over as well if you're not in the Portland area.
Okay, this is a good place for it. So how did She Jumps get started?
Two professional skiers decided that they needed to increase women's participation, so two female skiers. Lindsay Dyer is sort of the face of She Jumps, and Claire Smallwood is out of like the central area of Utah and Colorado, and they just started this, and it's grown a ton in a short period of time.
Yeah, so you're here at Collabo Fest. What was the last She Jumps event you were at?
Well, I've been at all of them.
they're very active in the Portland scene. They pop up, or we pop up at a lot of the same spots, which is great.
What was the most recent one?
The most recent event that we had was an Avalanche Awareness Night at Arc'teryx.
Okay.
That was in December, and then we have another Avalanche Awareness Night coming up at Evo on February 9th.
Evo, I just bought some shoes at Evo. So is this like avalanche awareness as in how to avoid getting trapped under an avalanche or something else?
Yeah, how to avoid being trapped in an avalanche, safety in the backcountry, learning about, you know, what causes avalanches and weather systems. So we're also hosting a one-day intro to Avi awareness up at Mount Hood on February 12th. So.
Nice. So are you doing more, is this more like informational types of sessions, or do you also run events where you take people outdoors?
Both, yeah. So we have a lot of informational sessions. Those usually happen on like weeknights in here in Portland. And then we'll host like a mountain bike clinic where we all go out to Sandy. You can rent bikes, bring your own if you have one.
Is that the Sandy Ridge?
Yes, Sandy Ridge. Yep.
Good things about that.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, do you have a favorite track or part of the Sandy Ridge course?
Lower Hide and Seek is definitely my favorite trail.
Okay, what makes that special to you?
It's just flowy and fast.
Nice, so you get to pump, you get to feel the flow. Very good. So I'm just curious, what did you have an experience that drew you to She Jumps? Like, was there someone who helped you get involved where you wouldn't have had that opportunity otherwise?
I heard about it when I was living in Bellingham, and I moved to Portland almost 4 years ago. I didn't know how I was going to make new girlfriends in a giant city, and I came to Pretty Faces premiere here at Basecamp. And Claire actually introduced me to Catherine, and Catherine and I have been meeting ever since then. So
nice.
It started out just the two of us at base camp meeting every month. And now, like, I think at the last meeting, there were like 12 ladies.
So. Nice. So I'm assuming because She Jumps exists, there must be some obstacle for getting women outdoors. Like, what are some of those things?
I think that for me, it's not necessarily an obstacle of getting outdoors. It's just that the people that are in my life that go outdoors are my boyfriend and his friends, and I'm tired of being the slowest or annoyed with them being the slowest. So it's way more fun to have a group of ladies at the top of the mountain. Men are also invited, but it's nice to have more ladies than just yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like my wife is in a similar position because she's done a lot of rides with you and I, Ross, and she's oftentimes the only lady. I think there's, I don't know, it's just like maybe it's hard to find women who share your interests at some point. So this is a kind of a point where people could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very
get
good.
Adela involved in She Jumps.
I should. We'll have
Adele.
To.
Get over here.
Hi.
So this is Samara. Samara, this is my wife Adele.
Hi.
We're just talking about ladies being outdoors and how sometimes it's nice to be in a group of ladies as opposed to like trailing behind a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Leading a bunch of dudes up the hills.
It's true.
As Adele's case, she crushes the hills, so we're always behind her.
Yes, I have to work hard to be crushing it every day.
We all
I don't know. Yeah, do you mountain bike? Or?
I do.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't, but
that's cool. You can start.
I do everything else.
You, you ski though, right? You just,
yeah, I do.
They,
yeah.
Do, they do yeah. skiing as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it
we,
just like a
basically
group
basically anything
friends?
Outside
oh.
we do.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
if we don't do it yet, then we're totally ready to start.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's just like a group of like ladies that go out and do
well,
cool stuff outside?
Well, SheJumps is a nationwide nonprofit. So,
okay.
Yeah, so we're newer in the Portland area, but
uh-huh.
Growing pretty quickly. So.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. We meet here once
out.
A month, and then so you just get a chance to like meet other ladies with similar interests and able to like meet up and go to these different rides, or if you want to like lead a road ride or whatever.
Yeah. Into it. Yeah, I'm usually solo, so or with dudes.
Yeah,
so,
us
which
too.
Is not a
not
problem.
Anymore.
But yeah, that's cool. It's cool to know that.
Yeah.
Very good. What's your impression of Portland, having been here for 4 years now?
I mostly like it, and
mostly.
I often wish I lived closer to the mountains, but
that's one of the downsides. Because you were from Bellingham, you said, and that's a lot closer to a big mountain.
Not a lot closer necessarily, but I lived a lot closer to the mountain when I was there.
So. Okay, I see. Yeah.
Did you think when you moved to Portland that you'd be a lot closer? Or
no.
You kind of, yes.
No.
Because I kind of thought I would be.
Really? No, I'd been here a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I moved for a job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that job anymore, thank God.
But you're still here.
I am.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. So how do people find SheJumps?
You can find us SheJumps.com for all over Facebook, all over Instagram. Come to base camp. We're
there we
usually
go.
Here.
Yeah. And repeat again. When is the meeting?
The first Monday or Tuesday of every month.
Okay. So stay attuned to the media, the social media, the internet. Find out. Well, thank you, Samar. I appreciate it. Which at CollaboFest here, which beverage has been your favorite?
Oh, well, I actually have to go to my ER job later, so I'm not drinking beer, but I've had the chai kombucha, and it is fabulous.
That's what I'm drinking right now. It's very tasty.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Happy Mountain Kombucha. They're doing good work, so
yeah.
Thank you for your time, Samar. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's a nice hat, by the way.
My princess crown.
Have you guys met before?
You Paul. Look familiar, Paul.
Yeah, we probably have.
Head brewer, Brock with Sprocket Podcast.
Okay. Yeah. And which brewer? This one?
Yep.
Basecamp.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm sure I've seen you before.
Yep.
Very good.
I'm around here all the time.
Yeah. Did you found Basecamp Brewing?
One of the co-founders, yeah.
There you go. How long has it been around now? I feel like I should know this already.
About 4.5 years now.
Okay, yep. Yeah. What was your inspiration as far as the beer that you brew? What kind of beer did you want to make?
Well, we try to, for this event...
Or any time. Yeah, like when you were first starting to make your own beer.
Generally speaking, we try to kind of bring a sense of adventure to all the beers we brew to kind of mirror our love of adventure in the outdoors, try to mirror that with beer.
Yeah. The first time I came to Basecamp Brewing, the indoor, I thought it looked kind of like if a brewery and REI kind of got together and had a love child. So it's something along those lines. But you got fantastic photography of things happening outdoors. Those are photos from people you know, right?
Yeah, they're all friends of the brewery, definitely.
Yeah. And tell us about the event today. What is CollaboFest?
So it's a group of brewers getting together. So basically we have 16 breweries that get kind of divided by size and then put into a hat, and they get paired up together. And so it's basically a celebration of the all of our commonalities as Portland brewers and, you know, pushing kind of innovation in the scene and camaraderie in the scene.
Yeah, that's great. I have only had one so far. That was the Ex Novo, but I have how many? I have 7 more tickets, so I got to keep on going.
15 more to try, really. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I know you got to run, but is there?
Talk about the beer real quick.
Yes,
The Honey Chestnut Pilsner.
So we did a Honey Chestnut Pilsner. So we did 10 pounds of roasted chestnuts that we roasted in house in our drum roaster that we also use for oak roasting and other ingredient processes.
On an open fire?
On an open fire. And it smelled absolutely fantastic. So we mashed those chestnuts, and then we added 65 pounds of honey in mid to late fermentation as well.
Yeah, nuts don't show up in brewing all that often, do they?
Not that much, no.
Okay, yeah. Very good. What was the inspiration?
So that's tied together with Bearlick, who we were partnered with this year, and they did a Doug Fir Irish-style stout. And kind of the tie-in there was we wanted to make a very locally centric, Portland centric black and tan, or spin on a black and tan.
There we go.
And it's separating really nicely, and that'll be available in the tap room for a week or two to come.
Fabulous. Yeah, and it's called CollaboFest because you're working with people from other breweries to
Correct.
Come up with some of these concepts.
Absolutely, yeah. And broadly speaking, kind of, or more broadly speaking, trying to integrate with the community at large.
Very cool. Yep. Where do people go to find Basecamp Brewing?
Fred Meyer's, New Seasons, Whole Foods, Plaid Pantry, local bottle shops.
And if they wanted to come to the tap room, where do they go?
930 Southeast Oak, Portland, Oregon.
972-14. Fabulous. That used to be my zip code. Thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate
absolutely. It. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Cheers, you too.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Eric.
Eric, yeah. From Laurelwood Brewing.
From Laurelwood.
Yes, indeed.
You guys make, every now and again, a great espresso stout that I enjoy.
Indeed, with Portland Roasting Company. It's awesome.
Yeah, which itself is a good collaboration.
Yes,
so, Eric,
great.
I'm Brock. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Brock.
What are you guys tapping today here at Collabo Fest?
So we have Out With The Old, it's called. So it's essentially a dark wheat beer with a slightly smoked cherry puree.
There aren't that many dark wheat beers.
No, there aren't. Usually it's known as, like, you know, the go-to for a wheat beer is a Widmer Hef or something like that. So it's always given that banana and clove characteristics with a lighter, you know, body and a lighter color and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, we went with some darker malt, some smoked malt as well. But it doesn't come across too smoky. We also took that cherry puree that I was talking about, and we had one of our brewers smoke it on his fancy Traeger barbecue at home.
Wait, so you smoked a puree?
Yeah, we smoked a cherry puree.
How does that work?
That's a good question. I had my coworker, Noah, he went home. He took videos of it because I was like, I don't know how you're going to do this. And he had to do it in like four different batches. Essentially, he took this the cherry puree, put it in like six pans, you know, those metal pans, and he put it on his Traeger for, I would say, about an hour at a time.
Traeger barbecue. Yeah, cherry puree. So this is like fruit leather, like before fruit leather
was
made. It's like poured into a pan. And
it came out really, really nice, but it came out really smoky. So we only added probably about a fifth or a quarter of the smoked cherry puree.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would have been too overwhelming. We didn't want to make it too smoky. We want to make it approachable for people.
Sure. Yeah. What have you ever had a batch that came out too smoky of anything?
I don't remember the last time I had something too smoky.
That's
but,
good.
But yeah, we're trying to like go along those lines, where, like I said, where it's like it's approachable to the customer, it's approachable to the drinker.
Right. It's not like you're like a pipe cleaner going through an old pipe or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
The interesting thing about smoke is I found it's like one of those flavors that people have different thresholds for, and so like sometimes it's like, like I find something like very lightly smoked, and some people are like, this tastes like an ashtray, you know?
Exactly,
like
yeah.
My threshold is much higher for smoke than a lot of people's. And
same with me. I can't take too much smoke. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I really like the way this came out. Actually,
cool.
You get a little hint of cherry, you get a little hint of smoke, and you get that like nice full-bodied mouthfeel with the wheat beer.
There we go. Yeah, I got to go try that. I've got seven tickets left, so I'm
awesome,
on my way over there at some point soon.
Yeah, go try it with Ex Novo's beer. They also did a beer, you know, that's supposed to be along those lines. It's the opposite. It's lighter. It's lighter bodied. It's with lemons. They did some smoked lemons, and so, yeah.
Yeah, theirs was a Saison, I recall.
Yes, exactly.
And that was the first one I had today. And this is this first beer I've had in a month, which I'm kind of excited about. It's a good day for me.
Breaking his resolution here at Collabo Fest.
I'm completing the resolution.
Yeah, not breaking it. Yeah, yeah.
It's all for a good reason.
But yes, very. Where do people find Laurelwood?
Off of Sandy and 52nd.
Okay.
Yeah,
you guys are near the now closed Rhinelander, right?
Yeah, indeed.
A Portland institution, but you're lined up to be the next one, I'm sure. So
yeah,
very good.
Dudes is right there, close too.
What's that?
Dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the place
they're
is
right
awesome.
They're right up the street. They're not closed. Is that what you said?
They're closed.
Oh, they're closed.
Yeah.
I thought you said they're closed. You scared me.
No, that would be a tragedy.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you for your contribution. Really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can we take a photo real quick?
Of course.
Awesome.
We probably can't get too far.
Right here.
Can we go, like, over here?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, this is fine.
Cool.
Up to that sign.
all the way to Sandy Boulevard. No, this is fine. Yeah. Cool. So, what's your name?
My name is Ryan Buxton.
Ryan, which brewery do you represent?
Ex Novo Brewing Company.
I'm a big fan of Ex Novo. They've been the starting point for, I think, two different Bike Scout events, at which I'm a big fan. And I was also there hanging out with a guy who wanted to learn about podcasting just last week. But number one, you guys have a fantastic location. It's really nice, really warm, all that. But you also have, first of all, talk about, you're a non-profit brewery, right?
That's correct, yeah.
How does that work?
That's a great question. So to for a little backstory with me, I've actually only been with Ex Novo for about 2 months now.
Okay.
I replaced a friend of mine. His name's Jason Barbie.
Uh-huh.
He started a brewery with Shane from Laurelwood.
Oh, yeah.
Called Level Beer.
Okay.
And I encourage anybody to check their place out. I think they're going to make some pretty solid beers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ironic because we got partnered with Laurelwood for this collaboration fest. So the new head brewer there. Yeah, it's a blind draw. And the new head brewer who replaced Shane and the new head, or me, obviously, who replaced Jason at Ex Novo got paired together, and these are the beers that we made. But to answer your question about the nonprofit thing, I'm still dialing that in, but to my understanding, people ask me how that works all the time. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by how does that work?
It means we don't make money.
Well, okay. So, I mean, like any nonprofit organization in the United States is obviously going to, make enough money that you can sustain, your own life. But then beyond that, any excess money that we're making, we actually do partner with various charities around Oregon.
Okay.
And give them the excess capital that we're making every year. So that's pretty much how the nonprofit side of it works.
Yeah.
And, we have like nonprofit volunteer group that meets at Ex Novo, monthly or however often we have service group projects that are worked on. And then, like I said, we also donate, excess capital to partner charities throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah. So which beer did you guys work on here?
Right now, the beer that I'm drinking is the beer that we did with in collaboration with Laurelwood. And so this beer is a golden saison, and in fermentation we used Meyer lemons.
Oh.
And 50% of the Meyer lemon addition was actually put in preserve about 2 months ago.
Okay.
So
preserve like jam?
No. So we took thinly sliced Meyer lemons and put them in a wash with a bunch of salt and sugar. And that just acts as a preservative. Obviously, lemon has a really low pH, so it's already, it inhibits a lot of bacterial growth that way. But with the salt, it obviously helped that. So it goes into preserve. It went into preserve, like I said, 2 months ago. And then the other 50% of the limited edition, basically, once the beer started fermenting, we added the other 50%, which was all fresh Meyer lemon. And that went into, like I said, primary fermentation. And then it got a healthy dry hop of Amarillo and Centennial, so definitely fruity citrus notes there as well.
Very cool. That was the first one I had, and it was the first one I had after a month of not drinking. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was delightful. I enjoyed it, and I'm not even a huge saison, like it's not my favorite style saison, but it was lovely. It was delightful. It was sparkly.
Yeah.
It had everything that I wanted out of beer. So good job.
Probably go better with maybe, I don't know, 80-degree weather.
Right, yeah. Now the sun's shining. It feels like it's 80.
Yeah,
it's only about 40. But
I was going to say, it's 40 in the sun and like 34 in the shade. Yeah. But
it's easy to drink, though. It's crisp, refreshing. We use French saison yeast from Imperial, and obviously, so you're getting a lot of like the peppery saison notes out of the beer. That I think pairs well with the salty lemons. And actually, the beer is partly inspired by a friend of mine who kind of does all the blending at a brewery in Colorado. I don't know if you're familiar with Paradox Brewing Company.
Paradox. Sounds familiar.
My buddy Jeff Ehrman made this really killer salty lemon beer that was barrel-aged and I believe it was soured in a mixed culture fermentation.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. And I was
nice.
Like, I really want to use lemons in a beer, too. And he actually preserved some of his lemons. And I definitely want to give a shout-out to him because he definitely helped inspire this beer. So.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Where do people find Ex Novo beer? Can you get it in the stores? And where do you go if you want to go to the brewery?
So we are kind of just north of the Moda Center. A lot of people come into town for events that revolve around there, close to Upright. You can definitely buy our beer there. We have packaged beer to go. You can get growler fills. Great bikeway on Flint Avenue.
A lot of people on their way downtown could stop and have a beer on the way.
Yeah, if you're going to a Blazers game or doing something fun.
Big bike crawl out front, park out.
Huge. Yeah. There's super bike friendly. We've got a patio when the weather is appropriate. It's a great space. I've been there for a couple of months and I'm loving it absolutely to begin with.
And if you do want to, like, have a few beers, it's also really close to a lot of public transit options.
It is. It's close to the train and buses and all that, so.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you,
and good work on the beer.
Cheers.
Yeah. Can we take a photo?
Look who showed up.
I feel guilty.
Oh.
Do you want to talk about your project?
We can.
It's Conrad from Culmination, everybody.
Hi, Conrad from Culmination, everybody. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Good.
So tell us about the beer that you worked on here.
So Widmer and Culmination collaborated to kind of take two of our house recipes and modify them to twist for our breweries. And what we did is we took their flagship Heffa and took the same grist, water, and yeast bill, and then just modified it with a hop bill to kind of fit what like our brewery does.
Okay, so like taking theirs and kind of make it, forcing it into your mold or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
So we ended up making a dry hopped Hefeweizen. Citra, Topaz, and it's Cascades and the Whirlpool and a Bittering Edition.
Fair number of hops. I've never heard. Yeah, the second one you said?
Topaz.
Topaz. I've never heard of that one.
So Australian hop.
Okay.
It has some like pineapple character, but also still has a little bit of like herbal character to it.
Okay.
As well.
Nice. Tell me about your experience with Culmination.
Well, I've been with Culmination since the beginning, pretty much. So
you are the guy.
Oh, well, one of the guys.
You're one of the guys. Nice.
But yeah, it started off with one other brewer. He left us, and then I got a brew with two other awesome brewers, Sean Kalis and Devin Benware. And we pretty much grew that brand all together. So
nice. Very good.
We did our collaboration with Culmination last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
with Basecamp.
Basecamp and Culmination last year. It's really fun because we get a lot of the same people back here every year. And I don't think we've had the same combination of breweries yet. So it's been fun to see everybody get a chance to work together. And,
For sure.
And, you know, become friends. And, yeah, it's like part of the whole experience. It's great.
I really appreciate that this is an event that kind of underscores the idea that, like, breweries aren't really in competition with each other. I mean, to an extent, I guess you are, but...
Yeah, but it's a friendly competition. Like, and we're constantly inspiring each other, I think.
And it's more of, like, if we can take away market share from the bigger breweries, then like we all get like a chunk of that pie, where it's not like a fight for like the sliver of the last pie. It's like there's a big, you know, percent, you know, I think we're currently like 15% of the market share right now. So as a craft industry, and we have more craft breweries in the nation now than we ever have ever.
And that's stymieing to me because there are so many craft breweries, and yet that's still only 15%. Like, there are so many people drinking Bud, and I'm not going to say Bud is terrible because, I mean, it's a nice thing to have on a summer day some days.
But
it's consistent. Yeah. Exactly. It's like the Starbucks of beer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the great thing about, like, collaborating and that is, like, not everyone makes a beer the same way. I mean, obviously you have the process that is the same, but you know, someone's take on a certain hop, like just as far as like utilization, like kettle, whirlpool, or dry hop, or like the way you dry hop, or the way you do it, a lot of different things. Like you gotta learn from each other, and you know, there's some people that make these really awesome like hop flavored beers, and some people that make really great balanced beers, but like, either learn by practice or learn by practicing with each other.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right. Where is Culmination located, and how can people find your beer?
It's 21st and Oregon Street. We're mostly, like, bottle shops, New Seasons, Whole Foods. We're starting to work on larger distribution right now, but, yeah, for the most part, just craft beer places get our beer.
Very cool. That's right next to the milk packing plant, right? Or something like that?
It is, yeah. Sunshine Dairies next to us.
Yeah. So look for the rotating milk jug, and then you'll find the brewery.
Walk away.
There we go. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good to meet you.
I'm Carolyn Simon with Ecliptic Brewing.
Fabulous. And what do you have at a Collabo Fest today?
We brewed Space Mountain IPA and Space Mountain Sour IPA with Mount Tabor Brewing.
Nice. And Mount Tabor is actually from Vancouver, Washington, right? So not super close to the actual Mount Tabor, but they're moving back?
Right. They actually have a tasting room about four blocks from Base Camp Brewing now.
Oh, there we go.
They just opened up, yeah, right up the way. And they started in Oregon originally and then moved to Washington and now are back in Oregon.
There we go. It's a transitory brewing company. Yes. But so you, Ecliptic was... is there a connection to another brewery from Ecliptic? Were they an offshoot of someone who had experience somewhere else?
Yeah, John Harris is our brewmaster. He started at McMinniman's, then went to Deschutes, created Mirapalm Pale Ale, Black Heat Porter, then went to Full Sail for 25 years, and then started Ecliptic.
There we go. So he's got a ton of experience. And do you have a prior history with other breweries as well, or is this your first one?
I do. I worked for CBA, so Craft Brew Alliance, Widmer, Red Hook, Kona for 5 years, and now I'm over at Ecliptic doing marketing and events and sales and a little bit of everything.
Very cool. Ecliptic, it refers to planetary orbits, right? And there are a number of space references, so Space Mountain fits in with your theme?
Correct. Mount Tabor is the mountain part, space is our part, and so we just kind of combined the two since we made a beer together.
There we go. That makes a lot of sense. It's a theme park of fun in your mouth. So tell me a little bit about the beer that you made.
Sure. So we decided that we were going to make a really fruity beer. So it's made with fresh raspberry and peach puree. And then we hopped it with a bunch of tropical hops, so Galaxy and Nelson. And then we decided we'd make the same recipe at both breweries, but on one side we'd kettle soured it. So you get that tartness from it. It's kind of like drinking a sweet tart. We've been calling it kind of a breakfast beer because it tastes a lot like grapefruit juice.
So not like the usual breakfast beers that taste like oatmeal or something. But yeah, well, that's great. Nice. What was your inspiration when working with this?
We actually just all sat down and we were looking at the trends from last year, and it was IPAs and fruit beers, and so we thought we'd just go with that. And then the sour side, we just came out with a peach sour at Ecliptic, so we were kind of motivated by that.
Okay. Yeah, I think my wife just had that one. She said it was lovely.
Thank you.
So that's awesome. Very good. Where can people find Ecliptic?
So Ecliptic's kind of all over. New Seasons, Safeway, Market of Choice. Also just bars around Portland. We're also in Washington, Colorado, North Carolina, and Canada.
Very cool. Wide distribution. And where do people find the tap room here in town?
We're in North Portland on the south end of Mississippi, so on Mississippi and Fremont.
And that's there's actually another Bike Scout tie-in because we did the Bike Scout event, I believe, this year started at Ecliptic, and it was good beers, good place to be, and they let me stand around with not too many clothes on, which I was thankful for, so... thank you very much. Anything else people should know about Ecliptic?
We've got some big news that we just released this week that we're going to be coming out with cans as of March 1st. So
really?
Yeah. Be on the lookout for those.
Very good.
What's in the can?
What's in the can?
Starburst IPA.
Nice.
And our seasonal beers. So.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. Okay, so introduce yourselves to the tape.
I'm Carlia, and this is Sebastian.
Sebastian.
We're Ted Brewery.
Ted Brewery. And we already cleared out that that's both the name of the brewery and the beer.
The only beer. We only have one.
Call it a brewery?
I can do whatever I want. There's one beer. It's great.
Absolutely.
And
so
it's super shitty.
It's super shitty, you say?
It's great.
Yeah. It's a macro micro. It's a new thing.
How would you describe, like, does it compare in flavor to any other macro brand?
Rainier is our godsend.
Top shelf. Rainier.
Top shelf Rainier.
We want to do Rainier, but slightly shitty.
Okay, you guys are here at Collabo Fest, but I don't see a Ted Tap, so you guys aren't...
They don't let us in here, man.
We're broke.
Look at us.
We're wearing jumpsuits.
Yeah, so you're wearing jumpsuits.
Yes,
explain the choice of the jumpsuit.
We went to Anvi and Backs, and we wanted a backpack, and they didn't have my backpack, so we randomly found these jumpsuits, and so we bought them.
And, okay, did you use the jumpsuits to tie stuff up then and carry it on your backs?
No,
it was just an extra, like, it was an add-on. It was, like, an exciting find.
They didn't have the backpack I wanted, so we bought a jumpsuit.
Hence, why we started Ted Brewery. There is no...
Rhyme or reason.
To behind anything. Any of this. And then I was like, man, I really like shitty beer. Let's start
a
making
shittier
beer. And then kind of make a funny art project about it, and then...
And call
sell
it Ted
the beers
Brewery.
And call it Ted Brewery.
So have you met Ross here?
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Welcome. I hear you guys make beer.
Yes.
Make really shitty beer.
I'm Ross.
Nice
Sebastian.
To meet you.
Cool.
Carlia, we're from Ted Brewery.
Ted.
Cool.
Seb.
Like it says on the name tag.
Seb, Ted.
That's just his name. We're Ted Brewery.
What kind of beer do you make?
shitty beer.
What kind of beer?
Shitty beer.
Yeah, dude. It's macro micro, dude. It's a new fucking thing, man.
Cool.
Yeah. What do you do with your life?
I'm a base camp person.
Oh, nice.
Well, what do you do?
For fun,
no,
or
that doesn't have a fucking name tag.
Yeah, I'm unnamed.
We need to give this guy a name tag. He's
it's not Velcro. It's not Velcro.
Yeah.
You got that Andy bags, didn't you?
I got it at Goodwill, actually.
Oh, it's from Andy bags.
Nice, nice, yeah. Nice, nice, I think it came from the government, but.
Andy bags.
Yeah.
That thing's cute. I like it.
Andy bags is the government.
They're my government right now.
Nothing about brewing, but we make shitty
beer. But we brew beer, and it tastes shitty.
Which, if you're looking for that, is really good. So you've got a hat that says Slammer on it. That's the Slammer Tavern, which is really close to base camp. But it's like Stark and 7th, right?
One of the only places that would actually take our shitty beer.
Yeah, the Slammer is
only because
big,
I know
they're big on us. They love us.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fantastic.
We love them. They're our favorite. They have Christmas lights year round. Yeah.
They have amazing Christmas lights.
Actually,
year round.
Love base camp too.
Base camp is
but
great.
I can only drink one of these where I can drink 5,000.
Yeah, I feel like I gotta take a poop
beers.
After I drink one.
What kind of ingredients do you use in shitty beer?
Shitty beer?
Hops. Cool.
That's proprietary, actually. So.
Any other ingredients?
Water. You can sign a non-disclosure if you want to talk about this further, but
one
I can't talk about
called,
on the record.
Okay, can we say, is it rice-based or wheat-based?
Wheat.
Okay, it's wheat beer. Okay.
I actually started just pouring Rainier into the things and then just selling it as shitty beer.
No! No, it's not! Sorry right here.
Okay, cool.
Go Blazers!
Right. Go Blazers! Go to the Slammer!
Have you thought about selling your shitty beer to the Moda Center?
Fuck yeah! No, I know a lot of people at the Moda Center.
Yeah, you can get like $9 a beer for your shitty beer.
Dude, it's so bad.
I know.
It sucks.
You can sneak beer in to the Moda Center so easy, though.
That's about it.
You just put them in your tampon bag.
That's about all it's worth. This is a fucking laugh.
No one wants to search a tampon bag.
Not that we recommend sneaking beer in. That would be wrong.
Against the rules.
That's right, yeah. Well, thank you so much.
If it's good beer, sneak it in.
Very good.
It hardly passes as beer.
There's alcohol content.
Whatever.
Can we take a photo together real quick?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
I
funny. I like you guys.
Best podcast ever?
Yeah, dude. I've never been on a podcast before.
Yeah, yeah. It's called The Sprocket Podcast. You look it up.
TheSprocketPodcast.com.
Nice.
All right. Here we go.
TedBeer.com.
Come on in. Come on in. This guy's the other half of the podcast.
Who are you?
This is Aaron Flores.
I like it.
Sure you are. Nice to meet you as well.
I'm Ben with Happy Mountain Kombucha.
Are you Happy Mountain Kombucha?
I am Happy Mountain. I'm one of the four that own it and run it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're happy in the mountains?
We are. Well, I mean, we're happy everywhere, but mountains are really our happiest place.
Yeah, you were explaining earlier to me what you do. By the way, our resident kombucha expert, Aaron Flores, is also here.
I approve.
He already approves.
Awesome.
Explain kind of your approach to kombucha.
Yeah, so we make a juice-free kombucha. So it's low in sugar because it doesn't have the added sugars of juice. That also keeps it from being diluted. So you get all the health benefits, the probiotics, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, really all the good stuff without all the added sugar.
That's awesome. Yeah. How does this stack up to other kombuchas you've had?
Well, I didn't know it didn't have sugar. So that's very interesting because I would not have known that otherwise.
It still has sugar. Just there's no sugar after the initial fermentation process.
Right, because some sugar is required for the fermentation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I got the chai spice. It's not as spicy as I expected. That's not a bad thing, necessarily. But, it's really good. I like it.
That's the one I had, too. I really liked it. I got to try the other one, actually, in a minute.
I tried the dragon fruit earlier, and it's delightful.
Yeah.
Nice. So when you do, like, flavors like dragon fruit, you said it's juice-free.
Yeah.
How do you do the flavors then?
All of our flavors come from either the spices, like in the spice chai, or we add extracts. So we use all natural extracts. And so what we do is what's called a master brew. We soak the tea in the extracts for the ones that have extract, and then add the spices or the flowers. We let it brew for about 20 minutes. We add the organic fabric cane juice, the sugar. We let it ferment, and then when it's done fermenting, we strain it, we carbonate it for a day, and then we sell it to you guys. So it's really, there's no added anything at the end. We want it to be as pure and clean of a kombucha as we can make.
Yeah, and it tastes that way. Like, it doesn't taste, it's not cloying, it's not too overly sweet. No, it's kind of what you like out of a carbonated beverage.
It doesn't stick with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like you said, clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good descriptor.
Not too sweet, just really refreshing and palatable.
Yeah, yeah. How do you avoid the vinegary thing? Is that part of the sugar?
If you over ferment it, it can get really vinegary. Really, it's a recipe thing. It's a timing. We've come up with this kombucha calculation, where we just, you know, put in all the right ingredients and have the right shaped vessels, and it's, you know, it's not a secret. You can come visit us and we'll show you.
Do you have background in brewing beer or anything else, or is kombucha your first venture into brewing?
It's my first venture into brewing, but we work with Tea Chai Tay, who's been handcrafting tea for about 13 years here in Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's the tea master, and I know it tastes good.
That's true. You've been there, right?
Tea Chai Tay? Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty legendary.
Yeah.
What do they got, like 4 stores here in Portland?
Okay. Yeah. And you were saying that you're on tap there, right?
Yeah, we have all 6 flavors on tap, and they have over 120 different tea varieties. So, yeah.
What are your 6 flavors?
We have peach blossom, lavender white, ginger root, dragon fruit, honeydew melon.
Those all sound good, and you should try each one.
I think I will. Yeah.
Oh, and spice chai, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And you guys just started bottling, is that correct?
Yeah. So we have 12-ounce stubbies. All 6 bottles have a different mountain from around the Pacific Northwest, from a different photographer around the Pacific Northwest.
Nice.
So our whole thing is to fuel and inspire the adventurous spirit. So we're trying to get people to go out, find those mountains, take a picture, and stay healthy by drinking kombucha and continue to go finding those mountains.
Yeah. So if you're not using juice and you're not adding sugar, it seems like this is probably a lower calorie kombucha than others, right?
30 calories per serving, so 8-ounce servings, 7 carbs, 4 grams of sugar. So we try to keep it as healthy as possible, but also taste as awesome as possible. Yeah.
You've got the numbers. I love it.
It's my job, yeah.
Well, thank you for taking some time to explain it.
Thanks, guys.
You don't see Viso as a competitor, do you?
Or what?
You don't see Viso as a
competitor. No,
no. Okay, I was going to say, we take another one with my hat off if you want.
No. Okay. Not at all.
Right. Thing. No caffeine in it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
If we were Gatorade, I'd be like,
right.
Yeah. Fuck those guys, yeah.
Yeah. No, Viso's great. It's, we try to. I love how you've all come to me and gotten kombucha separately.
I know. You're like, we're all together.
We got you this happening.
He told you that there's really, really good kombucha in the corner.
Yeah. I'm Harry Delgard.
And what's your, why are you here at Collabo Fest?
I'm here to drink excellent beer, learn about Portland brewing culture, and tell everyone about the Oregon Timber Trail.
Yeah, you have a connection with the Timber Trail, which is one of the nonprofit sponsors that Ross mentioned. So what is the Oregon Timber Trail?
Oregon Timber Trail is a 650-mile mountain biking trail that's basically like the mountain bike equivalent for the PCT in Oregon.
Right, and you can't mountain bike on the PCT, although you can ride horses, but this has been lacking for a while, a way to get through Oregon seeing some of the same beautiful terrain on a bicycle.
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea is to provide that same sort of backcountry-style experience that people, hikers, have been enjoying for 50-plus years in the West Coast to provide that same sort of experience for bikepackers and for cyclists. So that's what we've been developing, and we'll be launching here in April.
Yeah, there's a party you were talking about, Ross, with the launch of the GPS coordinates.
Yeah, totally. We're gonna have a party here late March. Yeah.
Late March.
Yeah. Late March.
Not April.
Yeah. April will be in, like, serious planning stages for getting out there yourself. I mean, you mentioned you're looking at a July. Like, what – I know it's kind of different from the snowpack from year to year, but what do you think? Is July going to be the start point for, like, to get all the way through, you think?
Yeah, I think the planning window for planning and riding window is basically going to be, you know, given the snowpack any given year, late June – to end of October. So we were down in the southern portion of the trail in October, and snow was already flying and covering parts of the trail. So you're definitely going to have to start early and you know, dedicate about 2 to 3 weeks to finish.
Yeah, that's a lot better than, like, if you wanted to hike the whole PCT, even the Oregon PCT, you'd need a lot more than 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you want to do the whole PCT, you're looking at 4 to 5 months of time investment. You know, the Oregon section alone, probably about a month and a half. So you're going to be able to see a lot of terrain, a lot of amazing landscapes, interact with you know, amazing Oregonians all along the route. And be able to see it a lot more than you would on foot via the PCT.
Yeah. And you've been to a lot of these places, you said. So what are some of your favorite spots?
There's so many different, like, terrains you go through, but down in the southern tier, the Fremont Wainema, not a lot of people know about that area of Oregon, but it's basically a little piece of Utah, Colorado, Basin Range country, just like nestled in Oregon. So it's a landscape that most Oregonians, Northwesterners, don't really see on a consistent basis, but amazing alkaline lakes, geologically active hot springs, great places to kind of kick back and rest your feet after a long night in a hot spring after riding, you know, 50 plus miles a day.
Yeah. And so is this all single track, or is it single track, fire roads, whatever?
It's single track. It's a majority is single track. So we're looking at 55, 60% single track right now. Ideally, as this concept continues to progress throughout the years, we'd like to increase that ratio. But yeah, the mix right now is fire roads, Forest Service roads, single track, and a little bit of road riding to just kind of connect the dots when you access the city.
Gotcha. And
this isn't a new trail. This is something that's been plugged in for a while.
No. These are all historic trails, and this is, you know, these trails have existed for a long time now. It's really just been almost a way of looking at the landscape and these trail systems and figuring out a way to link them for bikepackers. Oregon's blessed with amazing trail infrastructure, and a lot of people don't realize that you can link these trail systems that are sometimes 120 miles long, you know, in individual portions, to create an experience that wasn't created before. So
yeah, you can go out as long as you want to.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
Amazing. Yeah. Just keep going.
Where would people find out about the Oregon Timber Trail? How would they find out more information?
Well, you can check out OregonTimberTrail.org, and that's where we'll be releasing the official map, in addition to all further details about rides, organized rides, trail stewardship events, and then any sort of ongoings that we have. Otherwise, you can check us out on Oregon Timber Trail on Instagram as well as Facebook. Outside of that, that's about it. We don't have a hotline set up yet. No Oregon Timber Trail hotline. We'll be at 1-900 hotline.
1-900 Timber Trail. Yeah.
1-900 Timber Trail.
Perfect. All right.
All your dirtiest Timber Trail secrets.
Well, thank you so much for explaining it to us, and I look forward to hearing more.
Cheers. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much for your Kalama Fest. This is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming.
I think we should, we talked about ski jumps previously, but we haven't talked about Oregon Timber Trail. Unfortunately, Gabe is not here. He's on his way back from the Baja Divide right now, but he's
having adventures.
Totally, yeah. But yeah, it's going to be a really cool thing. And March 23rd, I believe, we're going to have the unveiling of the GPS release party here at base camp. So we're gonna have it available. We're gonna do a
I
know, it's like how geekified do you want to get? And it's like we're throwing a party to release GPS coordinates to the world. But it's gonna
perfect,
be like
girl.
It's gonna be such a really cool thing because it incorporates so much that Oregon has to offer, between like the high desert into the Cascades into the Willamette Valley, and then ultimately ends up in the gorge. And so there's like so much to see, and you're all gonna, you know, you can see it from like a single track bikeway. It's gonna be fantastic.
That's good news.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. So
all right, well, you've been listening to the Sprocket Podcast. I'm Brock.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Ross.
I'm Morgan.
Thank you. Come to Collabo Fest next year. It'll be on our calendar again.
It is always the weekend before the Super Bowl.
Perfect.
Yeah.